us just 1 minute, everybody, we're having an issue with YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
We are recording.
Watch your language, Scott.
Good evening, everyone. I ask that we all rise for the pledge of the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Miller, please call the roll.
Mr. Callahan?
Present.
Ms. Francis Smith? Ms. Kwiatek?
Present.
Ms. Laird?
Present.
Ms. Leon?
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Present.
And Mr. Flom?
Present. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Councilwoman Cranzi Smith did give me a heads up. She's running a couple minutes late, so she should be here in the next few minutes. Before we get started tonight, we do have a few citations for recent retirees: Fire Chief Michael Wright, Police Officer Jason Ever, Police Sergeants Patrick Masco, Brian Phelps, and Brian Quinn. Chief Wright is here, so I'm going to read his citation. Chief, you are welcome to come to the lectern if you wish. That's up to you. And I will read it. Whereas the residents of the City of Bethlehem have been served by a dedicated, diligent, and talented member of the Bethlehem Fire Department for 25 years. And whereas Michael Wright, who started with the fire department in 2000 and retired in 2025, has, during the course of his employment, provided the utmost and reliable and outstanding service to the fire department and the residents of the City of Bethlehem. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that Chief Michael Wright be extended the gratitude of the City of Bethlehem, which has benefited from his more than 2.5 decades of service and the special contributions he has made to promote public safety and to protect the lives and property of Bethlehem residents. Be it further resolved, now that Michael is retired, he can relax and enjoy all that life has to offer him. And be it further resolved that Michael be extended every good wish for a long and satisfying retirement. Congratulations, Chief.
Thank you very much. I just want to thank the citizens of Bethlehem first for this was an amazing career. I loved working here and working with the community. Thank you to Council for all your support of emergency services, for fire, police, EMS, and all the amazing workers that I've worked with over the years at City Hall. You are amazing people and you do a great job. Thank you. And especially to the fire department and EMS. We have amazing firefighters and paramedics, and it has just been a blessing working here and working with them. It's been an amazing career. Thank you.
I don't believe police officers Ever, Maxco, Phelps, or Quinn are in attendance. I just want to confirm. Thank you, everybody. So we're going to move on to approval of the minutes. Approval from the July 15, 2025 City Council meeting. Any comments on the minutes? Seeing none, we will move forward. If anyone has to step out during the meeting, I just ask to make sure the door closes behind you. We don't want to get in the way of the music festival that's going on outside. So public comment, our first public comment, as is custom, is for anything not being voted on this evening. I don't believe we had anyone sign up in advance, so I'll just go around the room. Again, I'll ask everyone to respect the 5 minute time limit and give your name for the record for our city clerk, Mr. Miller. Was there anyone to the left who wants to make comment on anything not being voted on tonight? I turn to the wide center, start with Mr. Shire.
So Shire, 1898 Avenue, and my first comment is rather obvious. If you want to send somebody out there, tell them to shut the hell up, I'll support you. In fact, I'll go with you. It seems to me that a city council meeting takes precedence over this. I mean, the live performances haven't started yet. This is just music, if you will. second bone to pick tonight, and mean this in a friendly way. But if there's any reporters watching, I know my name seems like it could be spelled S-H-I-R-E, but it's really spelled S-C-H-E-I-R-E-R. Good Pennsylvania Dutch name. Why we don't pronounce the first R, I'm not sure. No one ever told me. And while I'm on that subject, sometimes I'm asked if I'm in any relation to William L. Shriver, who wrote The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. The answer is no. I did speak with him once at a book signing, and he said that at Ellis Island, their name was changed from Shriver to Shriver. So, enough on that. Another bone to pick. I think next year, let's not have a city council meeting same night as Music Fest. Make it postpone it a week. The parking is just absolutely ridiculous. You folks are entitled to park in the garage. I presume you are authorized users according to the new sign that's there. I was tempted, but I didn't think I'm really authorized. And even though I speak all the time and somebody's expecting me to speak tonight. So I grabbed a 1 hour parking spot out there, but that was only good for an hour. So I drove around and one just opened up behind City Hall. So I grabbed that, walked through the garage to get to the, come up through the library. Well, that door is not opening automatically tonight, but fortunately somebody came out at a few minutes before five. And then there's actually a physical barricade to get from the library to town hall. But the vendor kindly moved a part of the barricade so I could get through. Kind of ridiculous. And so I would suggest next year either cancel the meeting entirely or move it to the next Tuesday. In my remaining 2 minutes, I want to get started on a little project here. The New York Times had a full page recently on various quotes from various federal judges. It's arranged by subject. There's seven on immigration, and I'll just read the first couple and do more later. Circuit Court Judge Wilkinson, who was appointed by Ronald Reagan, on the refusal to return Mr. Garcia from El Salvador. Quote, "This is a path of perfect lawlessness, one that courts cannot condone." District Court Judge Brinkema, appointed by Bill Clinton, on an ICE official's inconsistent affidavit. "This is a terrible, terrible affidavit. If this were before me in a criminal case, and you were asking to get a warrant issued on this, I'd throw you out of my chambers." One more. District Judge Boasberg, for the District of Columbia, appointed by Barack Obama, on a judge's order blocking deportation. He's been in the news, Justice Boasberg. "In an egregious case of cherry picking, defendants selectively quote only a fragment of the court's response here to mischaracterize the court's position." One more from a judge appointed by Donald Trump, but I can't do it in 9 seconds, so you're just going to have to wait for it. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. I do want to recognize Mayor Reynolds has joined us. Welcome, Mayor. Anyone else to the Wide Center who wants to make comment? Mr. Antalis?
I Stephen and Alex, 737 Ridge. On October 29th, 1967, the city of Bethlehem converted portions of Linden and Center Streets as a pair to a one-way status. This was done with pressure by the Bethlehem Steel Company to meet the needs of its workers. The final approval of this change rested on vote of City Council, for they are the citizens' watchdog. Today, thanks to City Council, we have approved plans to convert Linden Street back to a two-way status. Again, the final approval coming from City Council. Traffic moving south on Center Street is currently confronted by a do not enter one-way sign at the intersection of Elizabeth Avenue. Drivers will lose the advantage of the expeditious one-way Linden Street by its return to two-way. Now, if Center Street were returned to two-way, that traffic would be allowed to continue on the new two-way Center Street directly to the Fahey Bridge, rather than turning left on Elizabeth Avenue to the now busy Linden Street, or turn right to New Street into busy Center City traffic, or to Main Street into business traffic. Clearly, the conversion to two-way of Linden and Center Streets should have been done as a pair, much as some way they were made one-way in 1967. It is unfortunate that City Council missed this when they rubber-stamped the plans with little or no discussion. Were they unaware of this consequence, or they just didn't care? A clear failure as their role as watchdog for citizens who elected them. I've quite a bit of time left. I was contacted by somebody who knows I speak at council meetings, and they suggested I might bring up the point as to, in this case, since I brought this up with them, that the work was done by consultants who do not know the city. And this person was very concerned as to the high number of consultants used to solve city problems. And the results of these consultants are then approved by City Council. Some of this a problem. Problem is that the interests of the city, of the citizens of the city, are lost very clearly in this traffic thing. Why would not put two-way streets rather than one-way converted together as they were for one-way before? So ponder that.
Thank you, Mr. Antel. Was there anyone else in the White Center who wanted to make comment? Mr. Kirkhoff?
Are we talking about things you voted on?
This is just whatever you want to talk about, Mr. Kirkhoff.
My name's Artie Caracola, 813 Wofford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Southside. Now that I reach the age of 77, my view on human life is behind every, we all know this, behind every successful man there's a good woman. But one thing I like to add, behind every good woman, there's a man who can't control her, and maybe just a few people or entire armies. That's the problem we got going on today. It goes back, way back to the New Testament. Don't consider me anti-Semitic. It's not just female leaders that were Jewish, but many, many, many female leaders. You know, other than Deborah, with her guy, who was the leader of many armies. You have Mark Antony, not Jewish, he's Italian like me. But anyway, you have Mark Antony with Cleopatra, Egyptian. You have many others who got control, got their women to control their warriors. Marie Antoinette, who I just performed for Sunday, swear to God, up in Wyalusing, but no relation, I don't think. But anyway, like I said, not all female leaders were Jewish. They were controlled by men. For the record, so I'm not considered anti-Semitic. So anyway, the problem with our world today is almost, not all, but almost every man wants to be in control and bow to his god of gold. Money is the god in most humans. With most other creatures, love and protection of their loved ones is the main focus. If we can learn from most other creatures, we can have a perfect world. When I was interviewed for being an international peace activist, which I am, by Nanu Tong and Sunny Wong at a great United Nations event in New York City for approximately 2,000 people from all over the world, I suggested that the United Nations should control Palestine, but not own it. Just make sure that no weapons are permitted, because it's sacred land. So all living creatures should be able to live there in peace and harmony with no weapons, no violence. And then it could be an example for the whole world to see. Like in Bethlehem, we are pretty much reached the level of being an example for other cities in the whole country to see. Well, with a few minor adjustments that need to be made, like the Bethlehem Parking Authority, ArtsQuest, Wood Creek, Lehigh University, waste problems, the homeless situation. But we got a police force that's unbeatable. And I'm proud of the police force that we have. And they're not like other police forces in other cities that will shoot people if they reach in their pocket for something. Or they'll throw them around like ragdolls, even if they're 77 years old. Like was done on my birthday. But I'm not in I'm in Mick Jagger had the police come on his birthday at 82 years old here. So anyway, here, I was calm as could be. I was arrested. So I got to go to that thing. But anyway, I plan to take care of all these different issues that are going on in the city of Bethlehem. If I get elected as mayor of this city, I will not take one penny from any tax dollars from any of the people, because it's my chance to serve my country again. I served it back in 1968, and I want to see this country be all that it could be. And it's not our United States government, because of cities like, not to mention any names, Asbury, New Jersey, and many others. They're disgracing our country by the things that they're doing. We gotta put a stop to it. You know any good lawyers that wanna help me on this situation? I'm filing for a civil suit against this particular city. But anyway, you all have a blessed day, and keep on rocking.
Thank you, Mr. Curatola. Was there anyone else in the Wise Center who would like to make comment? Anyone to the right? That concludes our first public comment. Moving on to second public comment, this is for any ordinance or resolution that will be voted on this evening. Again, we didn't have anyone sign up, so I'll just go around the room. Anyone to the left who wants to make comment, anything being voted on? Anyone in the Wyatt Center who wanted to make comment? Mr. Shire?
The notice, there's a nomination for Planning Commission, and I would like to just talk about nominations in general, and without focusing on that particular nomination. There's an interesting problem here. Obviously, if a matter came up before council or a commission or a board of any kind, and somebody on that body had a personal interest in that particular matter, they would have to, should recuse themselves, and if that's not in the law for every instance, it should be. But here's the interesting question that occurred to me. On the one hand, or let me put it this way, there's a tension, a tussle between two things, expertise and intimacy. There's a, you want to have people on these, on the council and on boards and commissions who know what they're talking about. Do they have expertise? Do they have experience? But the downside of that is they have relationships with the people appearing before them. And human relationships, I'm reading a book by Meg Greenfield now about the city of Washington. I recommend it to you. I mean, it's downright hilarious in a way. She sort of strips the gauze curtains away from things that go on to decent people. You know, if these are people known to members of the board and the commission, and especially if there's some sort of personal relationship, it's inevitable you're going to have a bias. So how do you handle this? I don't know, but it's something that I think we should be thinking about. Ideally, people in these positions should be citizens with no professional experience. And I'm describing myself now, who have an interest, a strong interest in the matters there and are willing to learn. But even if that's the solution, those people like that are not too common. That's why I'm known as gadfly number two sometimes. So I don't know the answer to this, but I think it's something worth thinking about. Because it's a case here where, you know the one of my appearances before the Planning Commission, and Rocky doesn't mind, I think, if I tell you about this, about the original design for the Boyd apartments. It looked like something out of the Lower East Side of New York City 100 years ago. And I commented on it, and a member of the Planning Commission, who is an architect, said, well, there's nothing like contemporary architecture to highlight the historic architecture nearby. If I had a chance to respond, I would have said yes, and there's nothing like bad contemporary architecture to really highlight the historic architecture nearby. It was terrible. Well, Rocky fired the architect. Now, I'm not saying he did it because of what I said, but that's what happened. And the new design is better, although he was going to have exposed I-beams to reference the historic industrial history, which would be more relevant to the south side. They're still there, but they're not exposed anymore. They're flush with the surface. And I've told him, because he and I run into each other from time to time, we have long talks. I told him it's too big and too plain, but it's a damn sight better than the original design. But I cite this because there was an architect commenting on the architecture. And there's benefits to that, and there's a downside to that. Something to think about. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Was there anyone else in the center who wants to make comment on anything that we're voting on tonight? Ma'am?
Good evening. My name is Chris Bartleson, and I live at 520 East Laurel Street, Bethlehem. I have not been to a city council meeting for a while, so I basically have a question. Under new ordinance 9A, item 9A, I wonder if the staff or anybody will be talking about the highlights of the changes in that ordinance. I used to work in the planning department. I just have a little bit of interest in you know, like the major changes.
Thank you. I will just say before we continue on that we did have a public hearing prior to the previous city council meeting that's available to watch. And then anything that's presented or any questions that are posed tonight will be answered. And this is the first reading. There will be a second reading in 2 weeks also.
All right.
Just for some background to it.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the Wife Center who would like to make comment on anything being voted on tonight? Anyone to the right? Thank you. Oh.
I just thought it was daydreaming or something.
We all do it sometimes, just minutes.
So everyone's pretty familiar with me, Joe Daniels, 829 Broadway. Lived in Bethlehem for over 50 years, and I'm here tonight to express my concerns over the proposed appointment to a representative for the with the Realtors Association to our Planning and Zoning Commission. Every other member of the commission brings direct experience in zoning, city planning, land use. This appointee, by contrast, represents an industry with close ties to developers and investment interests at a time when Bethlehem is experiencing a sharp rise in unaffordable luxury developments. We must be vigilant in preserving public trust. Realtors often work directly with developers. While there's nothing inherently wrong with that profession, it does raise fear concern about conflicts of interest and bias in favor of projects that may not align with the needs of current residents. So how can residents be confident that decisions will prioritize long-term community sustainability over short-term profit? Some of the more direct questions I have are in relationship to this specific experience. Does this appointee bring in land use planning, zoning codes, or public sector policy? Two, is the city prioritizing balance on the commission between industry interest and community planning expertise? Three, how does the appointment complement or duplicate the existing skill set of current commissioners? Given the close relationship realtors often have with developers, how will the city ensure there are no conflicts of interest, real or perceived, when zoning decisions are made? Will the appointee be required to recuse themselves from votes that could benefit clients, developers, or organizations that are professionally affiliated with? What ethics safeguards are in place to prevent influence from real estate industry and zoning matters? How will this appointment affect public trust? How will this appointment affect public trust, especially when we're seeing an increase in unaffordable luxury apartments and displacement pressures in neighborhoods across the city? How does this appointment align with the city's commitment to equitable development and protecting vulnerable renters from displacement? And lastly, has the appointee ever advocated for affordable housing protections or against gentrification-fueled rezoning? As a resident concerned about gentrification and lack of affordable housing in Bethlehem in its entirety, I respectfully question this appointment with so many qualified professionals who specialize in zoning, urban planning, community development, etc. Why are we looking at appointing someone whose professional background centers around property sales, a field closely linked to developer interest, at a time when our city is under pressure from luxury development? We need commissioners who are deeply grounded in planning equity, not industry advocacy. I urge council to consider the optics and the real-world implications of such an appointment on public trust. I'm urging city council to reconsider this appointment, or at the very least, put it on hold to gain more insight into the questions I've asked here tonight. We need individuals on this commission who are independent, experience in equitable planning practices, and are committed to protecting the interests of all residents, not just those who benefit from property speculation. I would like to remind all of you that part of your job is representation, oversight, and accountability to those who have placed you in these bingo seats. Those who voted for you in May and will hopefully vote for you again in November. Thank you.
Thank you. Was there anyone else who wanted to make comment on anything we're voting on tonight? By show of hands. Okay. That concludes our second public comment. Continuing on to old business. Any old business for members of council? Moving on to new business. Any new business for members of council? Communications, Mr. Miller, 6A.
July 18th, 2025, memorandum and proposed resolution from Matthew Deschler, Assistant City Solicitor. Attorney Deschler recommends amending the civil service rules relating to qualification for promotion to the rank of lieutenant in the police department. Proposed rule change is recommended for approval in a 3-0 vote on July 1st by the city's civil service board.
Thank you. Resolution 10A is on tonight's agenda. 6B.
July 30th, 2025, memorandum and proposed resolution from Lori Giglio, Grants Administrator for Community and Economic Development. Giglio seeks authorization to apply for Main Street Matters grant for up to $1 million from the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development. Grant money would be directed toward the Gateway on 4th project.
And resolution 10B is on the agenda tonight. 6C.
July 11th, 2025 memorandum with a proposed ordinance from Public Safety Business Manager Jennifer Hogan recommending an adjustment to the general fund budget. The adjustment reflects state reimbursement of $84,195 for bomb squad services related to fireworks. Money will be used to obtain an X-ray system and ballistic vests and plates. Revenue account number 001A-30800 expense return will increase from $313,300 to $397,495 for expenses account number 0701-43099 fire equipment will increase from $143,000 to $227,195. The adjustment will increase the general fund budget from $112,983,162 to $113,067,357.
Ordinance 9B is on the agenda tonight. Continuing on to reports, I have nothing to report this evening. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I just want to first mention a big thanks to all of our public safety personnel that's been working hard at Music Fest. Obviously, we are now, as the echoes come through, in our fifth day of the 10-day festival, but it really is takes months and months of planning between our police department, our fire department, our paramedics, and the coordination with the county and federal authorities as far as making sure that keeps everybody safe here. I just want to thank them for all of their incredible work. They work very long hours during the festival. Some you see, some you don't. But I want to thank them. But obviously, the weather's been beautiful. Things have, as always, when you have 100,000 people or 150,000 people a day, you're always going to find one or two people that are doing something they shouldn't be. But overall, I think it's been a very successful first half of Music Fest. And then I have one administrative order. I hereby appoint Richard Pongratz of 2027 Fernway Avenue, Bethlehem, PA 80018 to membership on the City Planning Commission, and this appointment is effective through May 2030.
Administrative order appointing Richard Pongratz to the City Planning Commission. The resolution is sponsored by Ms. Gramsci Smith and Ms. Leone.
Discussion on the appointment. I'll start with Councilman Kwiatek and then work my way down.
So I just wanted to note that I don't know Mr. Pongratz personally. I don't have any personal connection to him. However, he has a bachelor's degree in urban and environmental planning. He is a business owner in the community and has relevant skills, including zoning and land use knowledge, GIS and spatial analysis, and yes, he does have real estate experience as well. So I just wanted to make sure that folks know that he's very involved in the community. He's also a member of the United States Green Building Council and was the Helping Hands Committee of the committee of the Apartment Association of Greater Philadelphia. So and there's other, you know, honors and board member and those kinds of things, but just wanted to make sure that folks who are listening understand that Mr. Pongratz has a lengthier resume.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilwoman Cramsey-Smith.
Thank you. While I really appreciate Mr. Pongratz's willingness to serve, I won't be supporting this appointment because I do have real strong concerns about a conflict of interest. And as I do with many things when I have to vote on here and I'm not certain, I'll talk to different constituents regarding their thoughts. And everyone that I spoke to, I said, you know, do you think this is a conflict of interest if somebody who was presently a realtor on planning? And they all said absolutely, positively. My concerns are many, but one of them is I remember just a few years ago when we, I think, did a great job in tightening up the licensing and inspections for the rental properties in this area. And during those meetings, we had conflict or opposition from the Realtors Association. And I think of that. I think of, you know, again, just the conflict of interest as far as being a realtor and being on the Planning Commission. I feel strongly, and I know many, many people also in this community feel strongly, that we really got to get more serious about our planning and our development because, you know, we do have a lot of development going on. I have concerns about it, and other people do also. You know, we do need more affordable housing. That's something that, you know, I've been talking about for years, and I know that we, as a city, have been working on it. But we, you know, development is an issue. We just continually are putting up more rental apartments that are not affordable, especially for the people that live here. And that's why I think it's critical that we have people on these commissions, especially planning and zoning, that are not going to have any conflict of interest. So that being the case, you know, unfortunately, I just don't have that support at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Any other discussion from members of council? Councilwoman Laird, and then Councilwoman Leona.
Yeah, so I do know Mr. Pongratz a bit. He's been very supportive of the William Penn Elementary community as well as some of the other schools in the area through his food businesses that he runs. But so I'll put that out there. But also recognizing, like, yes, it's a conversation worth having about you know, the industry in general, not talking about him specific. And the Planning Commission. So I'm curious what the history of people in the real estate profession on the Planning Commission might be. Is this first? Is there a long track record of always having a realtor on it? What's the status of that?
I would start by saying, I think people obviously have different jobs. We've had different developers, people that have owned property, own rental properties, develop properties on the Planning Commission. In fact, the person whose term finished that this is replacing is somebody that very legally owns properties and does development and things like that, even has had a business that has had contracts with the City of Bethlehem, all completely legal. So this person is somebody that I've actually never spoken to who reached out as far as his interest in serving, reviewed the resume. Ms. Collins had an opportunity to talk to him. But I also think it's important to remember what the Planning Commission does and does not do, and it's connected to the SALDO conversation that I believe happened at the last meeting. As far as, like, the SALDO sets what the MPC allows for the Planning Commission to review, which isn't use, which isn't like we're going to allow this or not. They're much more of a review commission by statute rather than a use commission or a allowance commission. They suggest things, as we have often said, our planning staff often would they review the projects internally and then deliver reports with different ideas. We would recommend. There's a lot of recommending, but this isn't, the Planning Commission is not a body that has the power through the MPC to be able to necessarily stop projects. It's just they have, they're only, we're able, and we had the same conversation, I believe, with the SALDO, as far as what's in the SALDO is consistent with what the MPC allows. So to answer your question, on all of our boards and authorities, we have people that represent every industry. When something comes up that's a literal conflict of interest, by the law, they are required to recuse themselves, and they do. And we've seen that on every board and commission. But it's not necessarily a conflict just because this person has experience in a profession that has something to do with land development. By the time something gets to the Planning Commission, by definition, it's allowed by use. So some version of that project is gonna happen. Thanks.
Got it, thank you. Yeah, and I was not trying to say that there was any legal issue. More just wondering what the history is and precedent, you know, thus far. But I think it is important for people to understand the difference between planning and zoning, because it does get like in the weeds for a lot of just almost regular folks. And had another question, but I may have lost it, so I'm going to pass over to the next person.
Councilwoman? I had a question for our solicitor, and it was mainly the ethics ordinance that we all have to comply with as a city council. Does that apply to our authorities, boards, and commissions as well when it comes to recusals?
Whenever you have a true conflict of interest and you have somebody on an authority, board, or commission, they need to recuse themselves.
Anything else from members of council? I'll start with Mr. Callahan because he has a chance, and then I'll come back to Councilman Francisco.
I'm going to recuse myself because he owns a business that leases from a business that my brother works for. So I just think there's a possible, I don't know if there is a conflict, but there's a possibility of a conflict, and I will be abstaining. I just have a quick question. It just popped up now. It wasn't something that I came here with tonight. Is he a member, as a realtor, is he a member of the Realtors Association? I mean, is he on any type of board or anything?
I couldn't answer that question, Mr. Callahan. The mayor's indicating he doesn't know. I don't have his resume in front of me. I looked at my desk at home. I don't know if you have it in front of you for reference or if anyone has in front of them just to confirm.
Ms. Collins says he does not list it on his resume.
Understood. Thank you for that answer, Ms. Collins.
I'm not saying there's a conflict of interest on your end, but I'm just asking the question because you did take a substantial donation from the Realtors Association, right?
I think if, once again, this often happens where we say we're not asking a question, then we go ahead and put something out there anyway. But I can tell you that there's no conflict as far as, like, I didn't even know this person was a realtor until tonight.
I'm just asking. You took a substantial donation.
I mean,
the Realtor Association for $5,000. I think it was.
I raised a lot of money, so I would say there were a lot of substantial donations in there.
I'm asking you. Did you take a substantial? I think I'm not sure if it's $2,000, $3,000. I thought it was $5,000. Just asking a question.
I'm not sure whatever was received by my campaign, which is completely separate from this, would be listed on my campaign finance reports.
You wouldn't know if someone gave you a $5,000 check?
Mr. Callahan, I think that the answer is the answer.
Is that a fair question? Is that not a fair question?
I'm not here to adjudicate if the question's fair or not.
I don't know why I'm being interrupted. It's a legitimate question.
Because the mayor answered, and so I just want to continue on. Ask whatever other questions I have, yeah. Mr. Callahan, but I think the mayor answered your question.
I didn't hear an answer. I asked, did you take a $5,000 donation from the Realtors Association?
And I'm telling you, I'm not sure what numbers were other than what was listed on my campaign finance report.
It was what?
You guys can just speak into the microphones.
And as we just said, we don't know if this gentleman belongs to the Realtors Association.
Well, that's what I was asking. And I just thought that, well, you know,
we said we didn't know.
I was just told it was a $15,000 donation. That is huge. If you can't remember, you took a $15,000 donation from someone. That is.
Mr. Callahan, we're getting off topic a little bit.
No, we're not. This is it.
Well, we are.
He appointed this guy, right? I'm asking a legitimate question. I thought it was $5,000. Now I'm being told it was $15,000. You don't have a clue of what you took a substantial, what the dollar amount
was? I would say that during the primary season, there was a lot of money coming in to political action committees, going to other political action committees, people forgetting about it as far as you're concerned, as far as where that money was coming from. So I can't tell you exactly what number did or did not come in. Whatever's on the campaign finance report is what was. But once again, this has nothing to do with Mr. Pongratz, who I have never had a conversation with, who we don't even know is a member of this association or not, who I didn't even know was a realtor, and you said you're recusing yourself from this for whatever reason. So part of this conversation having to do with recusal is also the fact that you're not really supposed to influence the conversation if there is a conflict that is leading to you recusing.
I will just interject, per our ordinance, anyone recusing can take part in discussion.
Thank you. That's right. That's what I believe.
Wrong. Thank you. Councilwoman Cranston.
I'm finished.
Councilwoman Cranston.
Two things. Actually, bringing that up, that is another one of my concerns as far as conflict of interest, because the person, again, and I don't know him and I appreciate his willingness to serve, but is also a tenant of one of the biggest developers in our city, Trump Development. And so what's going to happen? I know we have conflict of interest ordinance, but who is going to be overseeing and assuring that this person then will recluse himself if Trump Development comes up to the Planning Commission or someone involved in realty that he's involved with? Who's going to oversee and make sure that there isn't a conflict of interest?
It is everybody's responsibility that is a member of a board or a commission to recuse themselves when they fit into what the definition of recusal is. So it would be this person's responsibility to be able to say whether or not there's a lit of recusal or not.
So there's not going to be any oversight. It's going to be up to him. And the other thing I have to say is I guess I find it ironic, or I guess, why would you not know he's a realtor? I mean, you're appointing him, but you didn't look at his resume until tonight. Wouldn't you look at his resume before tonight if you're appointing him?
Well, as I had said, he had reached out. It was a recommendation from many people in the community that he would be a good person to be able to appoint. Ms. Collins reviewed the resume. Ms. Collins had a conversation with him. Our planning department had conversations as far as whether or not this person's level of expertise and commitment and professionalism and community involvement would be a good voice to be able to add to the Planning Commission. And Ms. Collins came to me and said that this is our recommendation, that this would be a good person that expressed an interest in serving, that is a new person that has expressed an interest in serving, and that's why he's coming forward as far as this is concerned.
And as I said before, I really appreciate his willingness to serve, but I think it's really important that we have proper oversight in appointing to authorities, boards, and commissions. And mayor is ultimately, as mayor, it's ultimately up to you to review a resume and make sure you know about the person you're appointing to something like the Planning Commission. Thank you.
Any other comments from members of council? I'll go Councilwoman Kwiatkowski. Councilwoman Kwiatkowski, then Mr. Callahan, go Councilwoman.
This man's not here to defend himself, and you can say all you want that, you know, you appreciate his willingness to serve, but this feels an awful lot like other times when we've had someone say something like that and then just impugn somebody's reputation. So I just want to say, regardless of how you're voting tonight, we should all be aware of whether or not we are impugning the reputation of someone that you don't know, that head serves on the board of the Andre Reed Foundation, that has won the Lehigh Valley Finest, who is a community honoree in 2023. You know, I just think that there's assumptions made. This whole concept, this whole idea that, well, there's no oversight, so obviously he's gonna like not be an honorable person and recuse himself if there's a conflict. We are all under this obligation to recuse ourselves, and to suggest that someone wouldn't because there's no oversight, you know, so then we need to, every time there's a vote on every single thing, ask every single person to whether or not. That's just, first of all, you know, untenable, would not work. But also just, you know, again, kind of assuming the worst in someone because they have a particular point on their resume. You know, if there's something that comes before the Planning Commission that his landlord is involved with, he'll recuse himself because he's an honorable person. These are the ways that we should be, you know, taking, you know, this is what we should consider. You know, some people obviously think the worst of everybody, and that's just, I guess, the way they live their lives, but we, you know, I think we could be a little more discerning than that. And again, I don't know this man. All I know is that, if you know something terrible about him that you can substantiate, fine, but if not, then don't assume that he's going to, act dishonorably in this position that he's stepped up to take.
Thank you, Councilman. Mr. Callahan?
I'm not talking about him doing anything dishonorable. I'm not impugning his reputation. I'm asking the mayor a question.
But Mr. Callahan, we're appointing this gentleman.
He appointed him.
Well, we're confirming this gentleman.
Right.
The topic
right.
of conversation is
right.
Richard Pomgranate.
So I just looked into your campaign finance report. You took $15,500 from the Realtors Association just 5-6 months ago during your campaign season. And now you're appointing a realtor. I just find that questionable. And you can laugh all you want.
It is laughable.
Yeah, you're right.
Members of council, Mr. Callahan.
She's interrupted.
Point of order.
I'm going to ask you to
point of order. Point of order. She's interrupted. This is not the first time the Councilwoman Quiatem has laughed at other individuals, and I take offense of it. Quite frankly, we could sit here and the devil could be appointed and you would support it just because you'll do it.
Okay, now this is not a productive conversation. We are going to resume with Mr. Callahan having the floor. Continue with your comments, Mr. Callahan, so we can move forward.
I would just appreciate it. I don't ever make comments or breathe heavy when she's talking, and I don't sigh, I don't make eyes. She's talking again. Can you inform her that I have the floor?
Mr. Callahan, please continue.
So I'm just saying that I'm not questioning the gentleman that's being appointed. I'm questioning the fact that he's now being appointed after an association that he belongs to.
We do not know that he belongs to.
He's a member of the Realtors Association. My question is whether he's a board member. He is a member of the association. Whether he's a board member or an officer is another question. So I just find it's almost, to me, it seems like a quid pro quo. I don't know.
That's a very strong statement, Mr. Callahan.
It is. $15,500 is a huge donation. That's not a small donation. In fact, a majority of you up here, all of you, supported campaign finance ordinance. And we, just for city council members, we had a $500 limit. Correct? I think you were for it.
Mr. Callahan, we're not singling out.
They're going like this.
This is your time to make comment on the comment.
And I'm going to continue to.
Without.
I just find it.
Berating other members.
I find it unbelievable that A, he didn't know he was a realtor, as she pointed out. He said he didn't know anything about him. That's amazing that he's appointing someone who has nothing, no idea what he does for a living. And it's amazing that he even know that I thought it was $1,000 and then I went up to five, and it's $15,500. That's a huge, if I took $15,500 from someone, you guys would be having a bird. If I was
again, you're assigning motive
because you're looking at me.
Mr. Callahan, I'm going to ask you to bring your remarks to a close.
Keep attacking
other members of council. Please finish your remarks on
my remarks. I think this is totally inappropriate, and I think it should be tabled until we find out if he is a board member of this association.
Motion to table.
I think that's the least we could do.
Mr. Callahan, I believe you made a motion to table.
I did.
I'm waiting for a second.
I think that's the least we could do. Until we find out more information.
Solicitor Stewart, please correct me if I'm wrong. As a point of order, when there's a motion to table in a second, there's no discussion.
That's right.
I'm correct. I asked the peanut gallery to please keep their comments to themselves. So as I just stated, when there's a motion to table in a second, there is no discussion. So there is a motion to table the appointment of Richard Pomgranate to the Planning Commission. Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Nay.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Nay.
Ms. Laird?
I have a question.
It's yay or
nay
right now.
It has to be nay.
Ms. Leon?
Nay.
And Mr. Colon?
Nay. Motion fails. 2 in favor, 5 against. Mr. Callahan, did you have anything else to add?
Not at this time.
Thank you. Councilwoman Laird?
I have a comment that answers the thing that we just voted on. No, he's not on the board. It was a quick Google. He's not on the board. The board is publicly listed. It is not. He's not on the board. My question is an appointment, specifically a mayoral appointment, or is the mayor allowed to appoint someone who is a member of an organization that they took a donation from, regardless of the amount? Is there a limit? Is there any actual rule about that?
There is no specific rule about that.
So the campaign finance thing that was passed before my time, so I was not part of that, but that does not apply in this situation. Is that legally correct, regardless of personal opinion on it?
I don't have it in front of me right now, your ordinance, but I believe that was specific to city council.
Okay, thank you. I'm asking specifically from a legal perspective, not anyone's personal feelings on the issues. Thank you.
Do you want to have anything else, Councilman Ball?
I just want to add that, you know, with the understanding there are no legal concerns here, we are in fact placing judgment on the person. We are trusted to make the right decision. We are trusted to recuse ourselves. There's no individual sitting up here that does not possess multiple conflicts with things on which we vote. We are trusted to recuse ourselves when that is required. We put the same trust in those that we appoint to our authorities, boards, and commissions. We also have lots of time between meetings to do this research. So I feel very strongly that if I'm going to bring forward an accusation of that significance, it's my responsibility to do the research and have the facts. We are talking about a human being, a person who has stepped forward to be involved. And again, my take on this is that what it comes down to is our trusting or not trusting this individual to behave appropriately if appointed. And to state that it is anything else is just not accurate in my opinion. So if there were concerns about this person's behavior, this person's, you know, whether they are going to behave ethically or not, a phone call should have been made, sit together, have a coffee, and make a decision. But don't come here and make those insinuations with whatever ulterior motives you may have. Thank you.
Any other comment from members of council? I'm going to start with Councilman Francis Smith.
Thank you. I just want to clarify that, quite frankly, I take offense with the comments that I am personally attacking anyone. What I'm doing here is trying to do my job in representing my constituents and making sure that we are appointing people to the ABCs that can be objective and will not have a high likelihood of conflict of interest. I don't know this person, as Councilwoman Pujatek says, she doesn't either. I looked at the resume. I have concerns that as a realtor, there's going to be a high probability of frequent conflict of interest. That's why. It has nothing to do with him personally, and quite frankly, I take offense that anyone, once again, is trying to put that on me, because that's not what it means. My brother, God rest his soul, was a realtor for 40 years, and I know what's involved as far as being in real estate in the Lehigh Valley from him. And even if, you know, I won't even appoint him as my brother or approve or vote for him, because I know the conflict of interest that exists with developers and landlords and other realtors, and that is where it's at for me. I feel there's a high probability of a conflict of interest, and you know, I trust that he will recluse himself, but why appoint someone where they're a realtor and they may have a high probability of conflict of interest and have to recluse themselves more often than someone else that we could appoint? That's the bottom line.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, I think it's even more so of a conflict or something to be questioned about when, even though he's not an officer, he's a member of that organization. And that organization was obviously very interested in the mayor becoming reelected. And I'm kind of flabbergasted that a couple of the council members up here who were adamant and pushing forward the campaign finance ordinance have absolutely no problem with appointing someone and voting for someone whose organization gave $15,500 to the mayor, and don't think it's not even something to look into, to pause on a vote. And I'm not saying vote them down tonight. I'm just saying table it, and let's find out some more information in the time to come in the next 2 weeks. And to suggest that we should do this behind closed doors and in the back hallways with phone calls, that's not what this is for. We're supposed to be here and debate things here. And I know several of you don't want to do that and dislike the fact that I do like doing that. I like having the discussion in front of the people who show up here. I like having the discussion in front of the press. I like having a discussion in front of everybody watching. And you don't want that. And all you talk about is transparency, transparency. You're the least transparent people of anybody that I've ever had to deal with on this board.
Mr. Callahan, that's accusatory.
No, that's my opinion.
It's still accusatory.
It's my opinion. I'm allowed to have an opinion on it. If you really want transparency, talk about it here so everybody can hear what's going on. Not in a back room, not on a phone call or a coffee at a private meeting.
Can I restate? Can I please restate?
I'm going to ask. Anybody else want to make comment?
Yeah, I do.
Councilwoman, I
think you do. Again, to be very clear, with regard to the campaign finance, we are required to recuse ourselves for donations over a certain amount, not to be appointed. But furthermore, I didn't use anyone's name or even make eye contact when I shared my comments.
Neither did I.
Please don't interrupt. I'm not speaking to you.
I didn't use anybody's name.
Callahan, please interrupt. I'm not speaking to you. And what I said, to restate, is that it's our job to do the research and come here with facts, not to have the conversation. If I didn't want to have debates, I wouldn't be speaking into the microphone right now.
Well, I was factual.
Mr. Callahan,
dollar amount.
Ms. Callahan, you're out of order. So we are going to continue on with it. I'm going to make a couple comments. So a couple things. As it relates to, you know, this discussion about having conversations on floor of council versus not, it just comes down to information, right? There's certain information we can get on the fly here at council, and there's certain information we can take the time to find out before we get to a council meeting. Any one of us could call Mr. Pongratz, and if I'm mispronouncing his name, I apologize, in advance of the meeting. That is not any kind of violation of anything. Then you can come to the meeting and speak on what conversation you have with them. Or if you have certain questions that may not be able to be answered via Google, as I appreciate a member of council looking something up, we could come already with that information prior to having these discussions. As it relates to this individual gentleman, a member of council had said they do not see him listed on the board to the Realtors Association. As the mayor had pointed out over the years on the Planning Commission, we've had developers. I mean, you could, I don't want to get into the hypotheticals, you could say, because of competition, you should appoint a developer who's going to favor or not favor potential competition and other motives. I think in Bethlehem, and this is one of the things that comes up often when we talk, we all just have so many contact points with different people, depending on their profession, different contact points as it relates to the work that's being done in City Hall. This gentleman, Mr. Pongratz, who I won't speak to how many hours he invests every week or monthly into what he is licensed to do, but he's the owner of three businesses here in Bethlehem. I don't know if he's showing the house for sale in my neighborhood or the commercial property that's up for sale down the block as much as he's trying to manage the day-to-day operations of those businesses, one of which recently opened, and I wish him all the best in running his businesses and potentially growing them, whatever it is. So those kind of things being said, I will be supporting this tonight because I don't see reason not to. I understand where people are coming from with different opinions. Sure. At the end of the day, like I said, I'm not gonna vote it down. I wish this gentleman all the best. I appreciate him wanting to volunteer with the Planning Commission. I'm not gonna repeat what was said earlier, but again, going back to the Planning Commission, someone who is states they are for or against certain policy issues as it relates to the Planning Commission do not have, and Attorney Stewart could correct me if I'm wrong, authorities within the Planning Commission to necessarily shoot down projects that don't align with their personal views of what city policy should be. I mean, that's a very broad comment, but would you agree with that, Attorney Stewart?
I would. It's a recommending board.
It's a recommending board. And just for examples of what the Planning Commission does, when we have an application for a zoning text amendment, the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission and the city's Planning Commission make recommendations. The clerk reads them to us, but ultimately council holds that authority to change laws in the city of Bethlehem. So I just think it's important to kind of, you know, draw a line in what power and ability a member of the Planning Commission has versus doesn't have, what power still remains with council. And again, with this person, while I understand they have a real estate license, as seemingly many more people do than I had thought here in the city of Bethlehem, I would be surprised if his primary focus is not operating and running those three businesses that he opened. So that's all I have to say. Mr. Miller, I'm going to ask you to call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
I recuse myself.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Nay.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 5-1 with one recusal. Do you have anything else, Mr. Mayor?
No, just to end the conversation, Ms. Collins had reminded me that unlike our historic boards, like realtor is a position that you need to fill, and I don't ever remember this conversation coming up before. Those realtors sometimes they vote to approve things, to deny things, and it's just it's a very different type of context, but those are boards that deal with development all the time, and by statute, they have realtors on them. And very different conversation when they've been appointed in the past. That is the end of my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Moving on to ordinances for final passage. Councilman Laird, I see your hand up.
My apologies. I was about to cough and put a lawsuit in my mouth.
You don't need to apologize. You didn't do anything wrong.
I would like to move that we group these, since these are fairly routine second readings that we passed with no real discussion at our previous meeting, so anticipating that there won't be significant discussion on these, I would like to move. Sorry, I had moved from my tab because I was looking on the website for the realtors thing. 8A through F, I'd like to move that we group those and vote as a group.
So there's a motion on the floor to group the ordinances for final passage 8A through 8F together as one group. Is there
a second?
Second by Councilwoman Wilhelm. Any discussion on the motion to group all the ordinances for final passage together? Mr. Miller, please call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Mr. Miller, please read 8A through 8F.
Item 8A, an ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2025 capital budget for non-utilities. Item 8B, an ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2025 capital budget for non-utilities. Item 8C, an ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund for 2025. Item 8D, an ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund for 2025. Item 8E, an ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Community Development Block Grant Budget for 2025. And item 8F, ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the Community Development Block Grant Budget for 2025. All are sponsored by Ms. Cramsey-Smith and Ms. Kwiatek.
Any discussion on the group? Ms. Miller, please call the roll on all the ordinances.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Cramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Group passes 7-0. Moving on to new ordinances, 9A.
ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, repealing and replacing Part 13 of the codified ordinances related to subdivision and land development. Bill number 39, 2025, is sponsored by Ms. Francis Smith and Ms. Leon.
Discussion on that?
I'm sorry, I missed the last meeting, but I just have a couple quick questions about it, both Saldo. The one is, you know, I like a lot of it is really great. I loved it about the traffic studies and transit routes. The one area talks about trees that if those trees are going to be affected by a development, it has to be approved by the forester. And I guess I'm wondering, what if the forester would, like, how much weight would that hold if a forester felt a tree could not be taken down or damaged by development? Do you know the answer to that?
I might have to defer to Mr. Pfeiffer, but, you know, so as it relates to trees, there are certain actual requirements related to trees that we can require of developments. Those, I believe, are typically related to, like, street trees, so if they are along the street. If you are, for example, referring to a project where, you know, a development on one particular piece of property could potentially impact, like, an interior tree on a neighboring property, the forester can call that out and can discuss it and can, you know, recommend against it, but we don't have the legal ability to prevent a development in a scenario like that.
So it sounds like the forester can make recommendations, but legally there's not a lot of weight as far as what the recommendations are.
I would say that the specific legal hook that we have is related to street trees. Is that right, Mr. Pfeiffer?
Correct.
Okay. And then the other part is where it says, I think it was asked at the last meeting about if, like, a development is in the process and it's not completed yet, can they can then take advantage of the elements in this new ordinance that might be more favorable to the project, okay? And I'm wondering, what about if there are individuals or people who object to a plan and they're appealing a plan of development, can they also then take advantage of elements of the new ordinance if the plan is not completed yet? That work on both sides?
No, my understanding is that the right with respect to pending ordinances would be applying to, like, somebody who's actually doing the development.
Or who's doing it. So it would not apply to those who are appealing it?
That's my understanding.
And then just the other thing I had about, I read somewhere about the fee in lieu. It says about, this has to do with transportation improvements and permits and bicycle and pedestrian improvements, and that permits, and it permits the payment of a fee in lieu of street widening. So I guess I'm wondering, what does that mean? Like, if instead of, this is on, well, this is a memo actually from Mr. Pfeiffer from, it was back in April. And on the second page, it talks about Article 1349, design standards and required improvements. And to halfway down, it talks about the design standards on page 55. And it sounds like if they can pay a fee in lieu of certain things like street widening, transit improvements, or installation of curbing and sidewalks. You know, that's okay. You can get back to me on that. I can send it to you. How's that? Because it was from a couple of months ago. Okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering about the fee in lieu, like, where it would go. So.
Be happy to get back to you.
Okay. Thanks so much. I'll email you the exact question. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Anything else from members of council? Councilman Laird?
Yeah, in the landscaping plan, which is 1349-2L, I think I got all the different sections there. It says, plan must be submitted. Such a plan shall show the locations, general species, and initial sizes of landscaping to be planted within the common open space and throughout the tract. And there may be another section that talked about curb landscaping or something as well. So the question would apply anywhere. I am wondering if there's a specific reason that only the things that are going to be planted in the landscaping area are included in what must be shown in the plan, and if it's possible to add language, or if it's been discussed, adding language that would include the whatever materials, like our rocks, mulch, etc., so that that could be considered as part of the plan.
Certainly, we don't call that out directly. We call out vegetated ground cover in lieu of, and we do allow for some river rock use when it's appropriate, such as along retaining walls and around stormwater management features.
The question came to mind because I saw some discussion in a public forum about a recent major development. You might know what I'm talking about, that has a lot of rock that the plants might not survive. Is it an intentional absence of those elements in the plan, or would it be reasonable to consider adding language that asks, what are you going to put around these plants?
Yes, and that would be more appropriate in the zoning ordinance.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments from Council? Councilwoman Leo?
I have two very surface level ones. I was reading through all this and I had all these really great questions, and I brought to ask the really simple ones. Other than the last time this was totally updated was 1975. Why did we feel the need to undertake such a massive overhauling right now? Is it just because of the length of time, or like what prompted this?
So as you can imagine, a 50-year-old ordinance is a bit antiquated in its language, and this is an opportunity for us to bring it to 2025.
Is that also why you included the definitions? Like the original Saddle, the definitions all said, just check, look at zoning, look at zoning, look at zoning. And here, there's quite a few pages of definitions. So was that part of it? What was the rationale behind putting definitions in this ordinance when it wasn't in the original Saddle?
Yes, so you're correct. The Saddle that we're currently using has very few definitions, and it makes it awkward for not only planning staff, but for the development community to understand what we're referring to when we use technical terms.
I want you to know I checked all those definitions. I read them all to the zoning ordinance just in case there was a minor change. There literally wasn't. I thought I'd trip you up on like what's considered family, but no, they're all straight out. But I really do appreciate that addition of the definitions within the ordinance, because especially if you're looking into them, it's really crappy to pull the zoning ordinance and then Saddle trying to figure out. And I was talking to the solicitor. It just makes a cleaner ordinance to have the definitions in there as people are doing their research. So those were the only ones that I had. To have a couple smaller ones, but I need to formulate them, so I'll probably either bring them up in the next one or talk to them. Thank you.
Anything else from council?
Apologies if I didn't capture this in my notes from the hearing. I know that there were years of work within the staff and inclusion of committees like the EAC for their feedback on this plan. What were the opportunities for, besides the last public hearing and tonight and the next meeting, for public input on the Saldo? Could you highlight those?
Certainly. We had several meetings with the Planning Commission. Those are public meetings, and those were advertised as well. And that was the opportunity for the public to weigh in on some of the changes. They were broken into pieces because it was a lot for the Planning Commission to undertake in just one meeting. And so they also made a recommendation to you as a governing body, a favorable recommendation for the adoption.
I'll just add that those meetings, there was a meeting October 2021, February 2022, November 2023, and April of 2025, when these four officials were in front of the Planning Commission.
Thank you.
Anything else from council? Mr. Miller, call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. 9B.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the general fund budget for 2025. Bill number 40, 2025, is sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolutions 10A.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the said Council hereby approves the amendments to the rules and regulations recommended by the Civil Service Board of the City of Bethlehem on July 1st, 2025, which are attached to the resolution as Exhibit A and which shall take effect immediate effect. Resolution is sponsored by Mr. Mrs. Smith and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Plum?
Aye. Pass 7-0. 10B.
Be it resolved that the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor is authorized and directed to execute all application forms necessary to apply for Main Street Matters grant through the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development. Be it further resolved that the Mayor is authorized to execute such other agreements and documents as are deemed to be necessary and or related thereto. Resolution sponsored by Mr. Ramsey Smith and Ms. Leon.
Discussion on the resolution. Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Plum?
Aye. Passes 7-0. I'll accept a motion and a second to consider the group of certificates of appropriateness. That would be agenda items 10C through 10G as one group.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Councilwoman Leon, second by Councilwoman Wilhelm to group 10C through 10G together. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Miller, call the roll on the motion.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Mr. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Plum?
Aye. Motion passes 7-0. Please read the COAs, Mr. Plum.
Items 10C through 10G, certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act, Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem Resolution, are hereby granted for 453 Main Street to replace a partially collapsed brick masonry wall with a rear facade with red clay brick veneer and gray mortar on a newly constructed wall. And D, 418 North New Street to replace the existing asphalt roof shingles with EAF slate line shingles and the antique flake color. 10E, 23 East Church Street to replace the roof with EAF slate line shingles in the antique slate color and replace the metal roof on the hood above the entrance door. 10F, for 400 Main Street to replace wood balusters on the bell tower of the Central Moravian Church as needed in kind. And 10G, for 412 Heckwelder Place to rebuild the entrance steps in kind. The resolutions are sponsored by Ms. Ramsey Smith and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion on the group? Call the roll.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Callahan?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Laird?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. COAs pass 7-0. That concludes tonight's agenda. Get home safe. Have a safe music fest, everyone.